Thank you for your songs, Glenn. Appreciate that. I'd like to extend that, what Coyne said this morning. Happy Mother's Day to every mother. And if you're here today, you have a mother. And just want to say thank you to your mother for allowing you the opportunity to be born. We should all be thankful for that. You know, a lot of people don't have good home lives, might not have had a good mother, but they did give the choice to have each of you, and we're able to be here and extend God's word out for that. We're so thankful for that, for sure. Today, if you have a Bible, I would like to open up to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1 to begin our lesson today. 1 Timothy chapter 1, and I want to do this because, and when we read this here, it's 1 and 15. I put myself in this aspect here. So this is the Apostle Paul talking to Timothy, and he's telling him, he's speaking of himself. And I put myself in this. 1 and 15 in 1 Timothy. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. That shows me right there that God put me first. And for God putting me first by allowing his son to die for me, then I'm going to put him first by obeying his commands that he's given me. Today, we have a pretty good lesson. And this lesson that we have is going to be in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy in chapter 2. We'll start off, I'm going to read this, and this has got three dynamics in this lesson. You're going to look at a soldier, an athlete, and a worker throughout it. Mostly we're going to be an athlete today, but we're going to be all three of them, and I want you to put yourselves into this position so that when we're going through this, you see where you're at, where you're going, how deep you're going to go into it, what are you willing to do. Chapter 2, Timothy, in 2 Timothy. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Endure hardships with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. For no one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. Similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. The hard-working farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight to all of this. Now, if you have a pen and you want to write down some of these scriptures that I give you, I've just got a bunch of different ones that I got wrote in that I put in here myself. Everything else is in that outline there. It's already there. If you will turn back with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, what we're going to focus on today is that athlete, a lot of it. And in chapter 9, it is, in 1 Corinthians 24. Do you not know that in a race all runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. You see, this crown is the crown of life that we're talking about. This is yours and my future that we have. The future that we have is everlasting eternity or everlasting damnation. There's one of each. And the thing about it is, you are your personal trainer, you are the athlete, and you get to decide what you're willing to put into getting that crown. So, and I look out here and I see some people that's, they may be older in age, and they go, you're talking about running today? You're going to talk about running? I'm not running anywhere. And I'm going to tell you, you're running a race. You're in the race. And I want to tell you that this race is important to us and that we are going to finish it. So, in this racing that we're in, I want to tell you how that you can qualify for this race. There is some aspects of it. If you turn to Acts chapter 22, Acts in chapter 22 in verse 14, he said, "The God of our fathers has chosen you to know his will and to see the righteousness, one and to hear words from his mouth. You will be his witnesses to all men of what you have seen and heard. And now what are you waiting for? Get up and be baptized. Wash your sins away, calling on his name." This is the Apostle Paul being told what to do here. And he's told, get up and be baptized. If you look in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Peter says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of your sins." In Mark 16:16, we're told, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved." We know that through this baptism, you're saved and your sins are washed free. That's when your race started. That's when you qualify for the race. So if you haven't qualified for it, let's see what it takes when we get into it. But remember that to qualify for it, this is what we have to do to start with. Look in 22 and verse 10. Saul asked, "What shall I do, Lord?" He said, "Get up and go into Damascus, and I will tell you what to do." Ephesians 5:1, we're told to be imitators of God as dearly loved children. So that means we have to obey his instructions. And when we're talking about obeying his instructions, who is he? God is our commanding officer. That's who our commanding officer is. So that puts you as a soldier. And a good soldier obeys his commanding officer, correct? So look into it in that aspect. Acts 22 and 16, he said, "Get up and be baptized, calling on his name for the remission of your sins." We understand that God loves us and he cares for us. If you look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 7, God did not call us to be impure, but he called us to live a holy life. So we go back to once saved, always saved. I can do what I want to after I've been saved. I can act however I want to. That's not the way it is. You're supposed to act in a conductive way. I'm supposed to act in a way that the Lord loves and cares and honors. And that's something that's important to our Lord and Savior. So we're not supposed to just settle. Ephesians 5:1 told us again, be imitators of God as dearly loved children. So we're God's children, and we're supposed to be imitators of him. So we're supposed to follow his word. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4, please. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put them into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." And if you go back to chapter 2 in Philippians, in verse 13, "For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe, as you hold out the word of life, in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing." So this race that we're in is important. And it's not only important to you and I, but everyone that you're associated with. So the people that you're associated with, this race that you're in is important to them because they're watching you and I. So when we make mistakes and fall short, it hurts them. So it's important for us to conduct ourselves in these proper manners, to act according to God's word and God's will. Turn with me to 1 Timothy again, chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11. "You man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses." That good confession was you confessing that God allowed His Son Jesus to die on that cross, and then you was baptized into Jesus Christ that day. That's your good confession. That's when it begins, right there. So you're supposed to fight the good fight of faith is what you have. Now, I want to tell you that we're going to talk about track and running this race. So I've been blessed to be able to go to a lot of different track meets and stuff and see a lot of different coaches and a lot of different kids run. One particular coach stands out to me, and I'm not going to say his name, and he's not from a school that any of you would even know. It's from a little small school. But the first time I saw him, I looked at him and I said, "Man, that guy's probably 65, 66 years old." But every race that one of his kids raced in, he was running across the field, encouraging them. Wherever they was at, he was across this, across that. One race I watched him in, it was a 1.5-mile race, and there was 4 or 5 kids on his team in that race. He would run across and catch one of them when he saw him lagging and getting behind, and he'd say, "You catch that kid up there, you track him down and you get him, stick on him." And then he would turn back and he'd see another one over here and he would run across the track on the other side. He caught every single kid that was in that race and encouraged every one of them to continue on to strive. One of them was in dead last place. And he went across the field 3 or 4 times telling that kid, "You can do it. Pick it up. You can make it." The kid didn't look like he could run out of sight in 3 days. And he ran across the field probably 4 to 5 times encouraging this kid to do it. And the kid finished the race. He finished last, but he finished the race. And he said, "Thanks for being there for me, coach." And the coach hugs him. He's like, "Good job. You know, you made it. You got there. You finished. You started the race and you finished it." And that made an impression on me. So as we go through this, I want you to think about the coach that you have that's coaching you in this race that we're in. And our coach is there for us. He's running across the track for us too. We just got to accept it. We got to absorb it and take it in. See, these kids, they're only going to give what they're willing to give. No matter what encouragement they have, they got to do their part also. So when we're going into this and you think about running and you're in that long-winded race and your lungs feel like they're collapsing, I know you guys all remember that running. The coach telling you got to run 1 mile or whatever, and your lungs feel like they're going to explode, and you're hurting, you got pain. And then all of a sudden, you get a little burst of energy, and you're able to go get it. And you say, "Where did that come from?" It comes from within. And that's what we got to look at when we start getting down in times, We got to dig in deep, and that's when we start building it up and continue on running that race to finish it up. So now that we understand all this, let's go to Jude chapter 3. Chapter 3. Jude 3, verse 3. Jude has one chapter. Jude, verse 3. See, y'all do realize if you're a visitor here that I am not the regular preacher here. But I'll tell you this, for what God's done for me, love getting up and professing His word, speaking His word, and talking His word to anyone. Verse 3, Jude. Dear friends, although I was eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt I had to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to the saints. Y'all catch that? For the faith. 1 John 4:19. We love because He first loved us. Have y'all heard that before? I told you that when we started. God put me first by allowing His Son. And I love Him back and I want to obey His commands. 1 John 4:19. We love because He first loved us. Galatians 2 and 20. This is something that we need to realize. I've been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. I live by faith in the Son of Man who loves me and gave Himself up for me. That is where I say contend for the faith. The faith is Jesus. Jesus is the faith. So the race you're running, we're running for Jesus. You're not running it for yourself, for selfish ambitions or selfish goals. It's for Jesus. So when you go out, we just had the state track meet in here, and all the places that go, they've got a certain jersey that they wear. And their jersey has a name on it, and they're running for that name. They're running for that town, that place, and that's what they're competing for. Your jersey and my jersey has Jesus across the front of it. We're running for Jesus. That's the race we're running. So we're proclaiming Him. We're saying how great He is, and honoring Him by what we do. So it's important for us to follow the rules, obey the rules, obey our commanding officer. Hebrews, I'm sorry. I went ahead of myself. That's okay. That's quite all right. It's the next page back here. Let me get back here to you. Hebrews chapter, I lost my place here where I was at. Chapter 12, verse 11. No, verse 2. I'm sorry. There it is. So therefore, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose your heart. You see, we're all in this race, and we're all saying, well, we're going to do this and we're going to be who we can be. But are we willing to sacrifice something that might mean a breaking of your heart or a collapsing of a family in order to finish this race and run it? And that's where putting God first in your life has to work for us. Sometimes we have to make those hard commitments and those hard actions to do that. And when we do, we're also putting them first in our lives also, because they see the importance of God and what God has for us and what's in store for us. So this crown of life that we're looking at and we're looking forward to, they're able to see that too, because you put that first and foremost before anything. 1 John 3:16 says, "This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us, and we are to lay down our lives for our brothers also." You see, it's important for us to be able to stand and fight and honor those who want to fight with you. So you look around and you go, well, there's a lot of people that's in here, but there's not as many as they should be. The ones that are there, you fight for them. That's your brothers and sisters in Christ. And you stand with them. And you stand against all the stuff. So that's all the opposition. That's the obstacles that comes in your way. And we're here to help one another. So you have that ability. You have that frame, that mindset set there. Titus 2. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and to worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for Himself a people that are His very own, eager to do what is good. These then are the things you should teach. Encourage, rebuke with all authority. Do not let anyone despise you. You see, we have to remember that we're a new person now because you qualified for that race, right? You was baptized into Christ. So your old self is gone and you have a new self now. And your new self is the one that obeys the gospel. That's the one that follows Christ. That's the one that imitates God. You see? So the old one's gone. We no longer live for wrong reasons, but we must live for Christ. Back to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, where we started at. Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ. 1 John 5:5. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Who's our commanding officer? That is Jesus. Who are we contending for? We're contending for Jesus. Still right there in 2 Timothy chapter 5, similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. You see, this one is the one where even as a young child, you grow up and you learn to cheat. Cheating makes it easier for you to get through something. Oh, well, I can get this. But what do we learn from cheating? Nothing. You don't get anything back out of it. So when you work hard for something and you receive it and you finish it, then you understand it more. But when you cheat your way to something, you get nothing out of it. This here, this crown, you cannot cheat your way to it. You can't lie your way through it. You can't cheat your way to it. Because God knows all and God sees all. So, therefore, the rules that we follow, we must follow these rules. They're very important for us. And we understand that we do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. And that's from 3 John 11. Do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. And we learned a while ago in 1 John 5:5 that he who overcomes the world knows God. 2 Timothy 2:6. The hardworking farmer should be the first to receive the share of the crops. Turn back with me to Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 in verse 15, if you would. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as a member of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Now, we understand that we're giving thanks, we're understanding Him, so that all that we do, whether it's in word or whether it's in deed, what we do, the work we do, that we do it in the name of our Father. And it's important for us to understand and know that. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. Since you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is in your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. That scripture there is perfect for us to understand that we're competing for Jesus. We don't need to settle for anything other than the best that we can get. So when we go back to trying to cheat your way into something, never allow your mind to focus that way. Always strive to do the best that you possibly can be in whatever it is that you're doing. Hebrews 4 is our next scripture. Hebrews 4 and 16. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. You see, we have to compete, and we have to compete with confidence. So when we do this, we need something to help us, that we understand we're not by ourselves. And if you look in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, I can do all things through He who gives me strength. And who is that? That's Christ Jesus gives us strength because He died and shed His blood for you and I. And we have that confidence and that strength that He gives us through that blood. And we're able to strive to do more. We don't have to fall short. James chapter 1 and verse 12 is our next scripture. James 1 and verse 12. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the victor's crown of life that God has promised to those who love Him. Colossians 1, verse 28 and 29 says, we proclaim Him, admonishing and teaching everyone with wisdom, so we present everyone perfect in Christ. To this end I labor with all energy, which works so powerful in me. Y'all remember who this was that's talking here? Mr. James? Or Mr. Paul, I'm sorry, in Colossians here. Paul was the one when we started that said, I am the worst of all sinners, but God give me this so that I could go profess it to the world so that they may become believers. And he's telling us here, we proclaim Him, admonishing Him, and teaching everyone with wisdom. So when we are able to run the race, while we're running the race, we got to be able to help someone else. How do you help someone else? You got to know some scripture. You got to know some word. So you need to be studying and reading to understand it. And that's how you teach. And that's how you work. That's what he's talking about right there. That's spreading the word and doing it. And he goes on to say, so that we present everyone perfect in Christ. That means what we do and who we're showing while we're running our race. When they come to you and they're looking for help, that everything that you give someone else is perfect, that you did it correct, that they don't have to be saying it's a lie, this is not true, that they understand it, so that when they go to see their Lord and Savior on Judgment Day, it's going to be okay for them. Perfect, presented to them. Let's go back to Hebrews. And I was told to cut this short, and I get $5 if I cut it short. And I think I went over just a little bit already, so I lost my $5 today. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 and 28. Just as man is destined to die once, and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people. And he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. You see, there's a certainty in what we know here on this earth. And that certainty is that everyone is going to die. Everyone who has a heartbeat living is going to die sometime. Quitting or giving in can also give you a spiritual death. And this death's called the second death. We're going to talk about that second death tonight. We're going to talk about a home that we can have. We can have a home of happiness, or we can have a home of unpleasantness sometime. That's going to be our lesson tonight. I hope you can come for that. I don't want to get too deep into it because it's pretty good. But we understand this judgment day that we're going to have. And we go back to it and listen to how this is. We bring salvation to those who are waiting on him. See, that's why we're continuing on in this race and we're running. And I want you to look at, right back to 2 Timothy again, so we can finish this up. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And look at what the Apostle Paul says here. 4 and verse 7. I have fought the good fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. See, he's talking about you and I right here. So, you got to understand, the Apostle Paul was a coach. He was a teacher, and he was a leader. He was running the race, but also he was keeping everyone focused. You see, while he's doing this, while he's speaking, Paul's in prison. He's been in prison, and he's facing death. He's going to ultimately die. He's been stoned already. He's been beaten. He's had a pretty rough go of it, but yet he's proud to be able to proclaim God's word even through that. So while he's locked up in shackles, he's still running the race. And that's what I told y'all before, that even though you may have some things that are going wrong, knees not work right and stuff, you're still running the race. And continue fighting that. Continue running it. Continue loving God. Continue coming and worshiping, singing spiritual hymns of songs. Continue on letting everyone else know that you love God. That's what the Apostle Paul was doing here. And he did it with a positive attitude. He did it by encouraging. He pushed them, didn't he? He was showing them love. He cared for them. He had commitment. And he had pride. And he kept happiness in his heart. Because he sang while he was in prison. And he praised God and he prayed to God while he was in prison. 2 John 8. Tells us to watch out that you do not lose what you have worked for, but that you may be rewarded fully in what you do. Watch out that you do not lose what you've worked for, but that you may be rewarded fully in all that you've done. So thankful for everyone that was here today. Thankful to was able to get up here and preach some word to you. If any of you ever feel yourself getting down, if you find you need to go find that coach. And if you look around you, there's coaches everywhere, all around you guys. You can see them in this room here. I see them all over. Find you a coach to help get you through your tough time. If anybody needs anything that you're battling with, if you haven't made that commitment to qualify for the race yet, the race of life, the race of salvation, please come forward as we stand and sing the song of invitation that Glenn has chosen for us.